Now, I want to read tonight two short passages, one in the book of Genesis in chapter 6 and beginning at verse 1. Genesis chapter 6, verse 1, then we'll turn over to Matthew 24 and we'll read a few verses there as well. But Genesis chapter 6, reading from verse 1. It came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, and they took them wives of all which they choose. The Lord said, My spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. There were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that, when the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men, and they bare children to them, the same became mighty men which were of old, men of renown. God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. The Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and the creeping thing and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations, and Noah walked with God. And Noah begat three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. The earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. God said unto Noah, The end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make thee an ark of gopher wood, room shalt thou make in the ark, and shall pitch it within and without with pitch. Now turn with me just for a short reading to Matthew chapter 24. Matthew chapter 24 and verse 36. The Lord Jesus has been speaking about his second coming. And in verse 36 we read, But of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Amen. We know God will add his blessing to the reading of his word. Let's bow just for a moment quietly in prayer. We thank you, Father, that already we have had the privilege and opportunity to unite our hearts and voices together to praise your great name. You're a wonderful God, the God who reigns sovereign over all creation, the God of our salvation, the one who has looked upon us in love and in great mercy, sending your Son to be our Savior. We ask, our Father, that as we turn our thoughts to your word just now, that you will continue to speak to us. We thank you for help given to David as he's led our services today, for those who have ministered in song this evening. Father, we just thank you for help and for your gracious dealings with us. Remember Jim as he ministers in song in Portrush tonight. Remember Stephen as he preaches in Rathfrieland. Oh God, wherever your word goes forth, we pray simply for the blessing of God to rest upon it. And we pray that some will come to know the Lord Jesus Christ because of the preaching of it. And these things we ask in the Savior's name. Amen. Someone tonight in our prayer meeting before the service, as we were praying, prayed about the state of the world in which we live, and that is understandable. It seems that no matter when you look out into our world, and no matter what you hear is going on in the world, though there are some things that greatly encourage us, there are so many things that can easily depress us and discourage us about the world in which we live. Human life itself seems to be so cheap. Morals don't seem to matter much anymore. And all in all, we could go on and picture a very depressing and discouraging scene. But bad though our world might be tonight, there is no doubt about it that the world, though it is everything I've said it is, this generation is in no way unique. As you and I come to our little series tonight of important truths for different times, we see that in the words of the Lord Jesus Christ in Matthew 24, and we tie it up tonight with Genesis chapter 6, where we read of this man Noah, and a story that we all know well because we've known it since childhood, the story of the ark. And I want to tell you tonight that despite what we see happening all around us, I want to assure you that Christ is the only hope for a dying world. Christ himself is the only hope for a dying world. Things are certainly bad, and if I understand my Bible correctly, and as the purposes of God continue to unfold, then things will get progressively worse in days to come. But don't despair. There is good news in the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. There is hope to be found in him who died for our sins at the cross and who tonight is waiting and willing to save us and prepare us for a home in heaven and, as the Bible declares, to deliver us from the wrath that is yet to come. So I'm turning your thoughts here to the story this evening and to the days when the ark was built and when God dealt with his righteous servant Noah. Look for a moment at the conditions that prevailed in Noah's day. Because prior to the flooding of the earth and the provision of the ark, the conditions that prevailed were horrendous. And you could approach this passage in many different ways, but no matter how you look at it, there is no doubt there are many things that are written here that cause great concern. As far as the people themselves were concerned, their lives were marked with a clear defiance toward God. They were not only defiant, but religion had taken a back seat. Men and women had turned their backs on God, and spiritual things were not deemed to be just that important. No doubt there was wickedness on every hand, and that despite the preaching and pleadings of righteous Noah, because here's a man who preached his heart out to his own generation. This is a man who declared the things of God to the people, but the people refused to listen, and defiantly they would not meet with God on God's terms. There was gross apostasy, there was much immorality. And Genesis 6 puts it like this: the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And then it says this: the earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. It's not a pretty picture. I suppose if you closed your eyes tonight and listened to the news from various parts of our world, you would almost think that those were the very days that we ourselves were living in. For surely as we look around us at the world this evening, things are bad and they're getting worse. And we can see defiance certainly in the hearts of many when it comes to things that are spiritual. But you know, there's not just defiance to be evident in the lives of the people. There's disturbing activity taking place, because the words that are used here speak about great chaos and confusion. There's carnality and there's corruption. What we're being told tonight in Genesis 6, that in Noah's day, there is a picture of a godless society in great decay. And you say to me tonight, well, why on earth would we begin looking in Genesis 6 at something that happened way back in Old Testament times and happened so many years before? For this very simple reason, that the Lord Jesus Christ himself says this in Matthew 24. Listen again. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day Noah entered into the ark and knew not, until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Now, I believe that the Lord Jesus Christ is coming again. I can't tell you when. I'm not going to speculate on dates or times or any of those things. But I have no doubts either that the world in which we live would show to us that the coming of the Lord is drawing near. Look out on our society. See what's happening all around us. I just sat down this week and I listened to some of the statistics that have been recorded by those who research them, and then they've been put into the spotlight so that we might learn something from them. Here's what has been said just in this past week or so. Alcoholism, on the increase. Recent reports tell us some children as young as 12 or 13 are battling a drink problem. 13 years of age and they're battling a drink problem. Child abuse is in the increase. Despite high statistics, we're still being told that so many cases are not even reported. Drug abuse on the increase. I read this week 60% of young people, it's thought, have experimented with drugs before the age of 16. The transmission of sexual diseases. More and more children experimenting sexually before they're even out of childhood. And in the front pages of another paper, a 13-year-old fathering a child. Do I need to go on? That's the picture. And I don't give you that picture tonight to depress you in any way. I give you the picture because we're dealing with reality. That's a very simple overview of the conditions that prevail today. And if you think that Noah's day was different from ours, you need to think again, because sin has raised its head in every generation. The problems exist all around us, even sometimes we might not know it, and even sometimes we cannot see it. But the problems are there. And they're evident in our world today. But you know, it's not just the conditions that prevailed in Noah's day. I want you to see the condemnation that was pronounced in Noah's day. Let me say this to you, and for the good of my own heart. If we're here tonight with no thought of God in our souls, and if our lives are defiant towards Him, and we choose to live a life that pleases us but doesn't please Him, and we continue to live in our sin and flaunt ourselves in sin before God, you need to understand there'll always be a price to pay. Always. Now, we thought about that in a measure last Sunday evening when we looked at Psalm 51. You remember David. And even though David was engaged in something that was wrong, and even when Nathan came to him and told him about the situation in a roundabout way, and David says, "Who's the man?" Nathan says, "You're the man." David learned there's always a price to pay. If you're not saved tonight and you're here, and maybe you're defiant toward God, maybe you're rebelling against God, You feel that you want to do things your own way and hold the reins of your own life, and you're not going to be dictated to by any preacher in a pulpit, by your Christian parents, or even by the God of heaven who has created you for His glory. If you remain defiant, there will always be a price to pay. That's borne out in Noah's day. Because those people thought that they could flaunt themselves in the sight of God and fool about with God, and they needed to think again. If they were not interested in God, God was certainly interested in them. God saw, two simple words. Before we're reminded of all that was happening on the earth at that time, it starts off, and God saw. God saw. God knew everything about their conduct. God knew everything about their activity. God knew their actions. God knew all about their pathway in life. And even as they're reveling in sin and living in defiance and in depravity, God's judgment is already on the way. There's always a price to pay. When you come to this story tonight, we could spend the rest of the evening looking at this, but I just want to mention a couple of things quickly in passing. You note that God issues a very solemn warning. He looked at the world, the sin that abounded, God saw and God knew, and He simply says, "My spirit shall not always strive with man." As far as these people were concerned in Noah's day, though they didn't know it, God was already drawing a line in the sand, and He says, no more. No more. There was a price to pay, and very soon they're going to pay it. God saw their wickedness. They were trying God's patience, and God was going to deal with them, and He was going to deal with their sin. And He says, by way of warning, "My spirit shall not always strive with man." Let me pause there for a moment. You see, there comes a time when God in His grace and mercy speaks to us, revealing our sin, reminding us of the One who died for our sin at the cross, reminding us how much we need His salvation, giving us opportunity to sit under the sound of His Word, wooing us to come to Christ that we might be saved. There's a time when God speaks to us. But there may well come a time when God will speak to us for the very, very last time. "My spirit," God says, "shall not always strive with man." Can I ask you something tonight, honestly? Have you been thinking about giving your life to Jesus Christ? Have you been sitting tossing over in your head for weeks or perhaps for months because of one situation or another, because of a tragedy or something that has happened in your life? Is it that you've been sitting thinking about this thing called salvation, and you know you need to be saved, and you know that you want to be saved, and you know that Christ alone can save you? Have you been thinking about that, and yet you've done nothing about it? Let me say to you, if God has been speaking to your heart, respond to Him. Embrace His love in Christ. Come to the cross and receive Christ to be your Savior. Because God speaks, and He speaks again, and He speaks again. But the day will come when God might well speak no more. And He'll speak for the last time. And your day of opportunity might be gone. During this American Revolution, Colonel Rall, the commander of the British troops in Trenton in New Jersey, was sitting at a table and absorbed in a game of cards. The stakes were high. The courier rushed in and handed him what was a very important and urgent message. It was a note to tell him that General George Washington was crossing the Delaware River and that he needed to muster his troops immediately and meet him on the field. Raoul was caught up so much with the card game, with the money on the table, that he took the message and put it hastily into his pocket. And he continued with the game. When the cards were folded and the game was over, he took it out of his pocket, that is, the note, and he read it. Realizing the seriousness of the situation, he rallied his men. It was all too late, because Raoul himself was killed. Many of his men were killed. The rest of the men were captured. And here's what commentator says. Only a few minutes' delay cost him his life, his honor, and the liberty of his soldiers. And he said, Earth's history is marked with the wrecks of half-finished plans and unexecuted solutions. Tomorrow is an excuse of the lazy and the refuge of the incompetent. He trailed his feet, lost his life. You could trail your feet, spiritually speaking, and lose your soul. For God says, my spirit shall not always strive with man. If God has been speaking to your heart, I urge you tonight, I urge you to respond to the promptings of the Spirit and to trust the Lord Jesus for salvation. But you see, there's something else poured out here that's simply this, that God not only issued a very solemn warning, God instigated a very solemn judgment. God was willing to deal with them in grace, but he also said, I will destroy them with the earth. If they didn't heed God's word, if they wouldn't listen to God's servant, if they would not turn their hearts away from their defiance, and if their lives would not change from their depravity, God warns them that judgment is going to follow. And God says, I'm going to cut you off forever. You and I need to understand this. Do you see this old world in which we're living? As you and I make our journey along the pathway of life, this old world one day will be no more. Be no more. Because the Word of God makes this abundantly clear, that God has appointed a day in which He will judge the world. Now, there's no contradiction here. God's not willing that any one of us should perish. God has made provision for our sin through the Lord Jesus Christ. God offers us tonight salvation in Him, a salvation that is eternal. But if we remain in a state of defiance, if we will not accept His offer of mercy in Christ, then here's how the Apostle Paul puts it. He simply says that God, in flaming fire, will take vengeance on them that obey not the gospel. How traumatic. How terrible that is. This day of judgment is appointed. And even while you and I sit in this meeting tonight, this day of judgment is approaching. And the Word of God tells us that if we will not repent of our sin and will not trust Christ, then one day we're going to be swept away in the tide of God's wrath. You say to me, God wouldn't do that to me. God wouldn't do that to the world in which we live. He did it before. And He's promised, not that He'll do it again by flood, but He's promised that there's a day coming when there'll be a great earth shake. And only that which is eternal will remain. The conditions that prevailed in Noah's day, The condemnation that was pronounced in Noah's day. Here's the third thing very quickly. The compassion that was preeminent in Noah's day. No one will ever accuse God of not caring. In Noah's day, even while the people reveled in their sin, God was showing compassion. God was making provision for their need. He gave directions to Noah, this preacher of righteousness, to make provision not just for himself and for his family, but for all who would enter into the ark. If they sought refuge from the coming judgment, then every one of them who entered into the ark were going to be saved. Noah himself was a forgiven sinner. He found grace in the sight of the Lord. I have no doubts that Noah preached to the people about their need. He had warned them of the consequences of their sin. He was God's spokesman in a very difficult day and in days of great darkness. But the people took no interest in what he had to say. But Noah took a keen interest in what God had to say. He built the ark just as God directed him. Did it right to the requirements that God asked, and when it was finished, a place of safety was found. Do you know, as the story unfolds for us, and I don't need to tell you this story because it's so simple that the children amongst us understand it too. But the ark was built, the floods came, and God had already shut Moses and the family in, and he had shut the rest of them out. And the judgment came just as God had said. What happened? When God said, I will destroy the earth, he meant it. When God says, I will destroy the earth, he did it. And only those who were in the ark were saved. All of those outside the ark were lost, including those who watched the ark being built, including those who had heard Noah preach, those who chose to defy God, those who reveled in their sin. They were all lost because they hadn't heeded the warning. The judgment of God was swift and solemn, and only those in the ark were saved. What a picture that is of the refuge we find in Christ. For the truth is that only those who are found in Christ will be saved. When the tides of God's wrath come in upon the world in which we live, I tell you, friends, this is the only place of refuge for you and for me. There is no salvation apart from Christ. There's no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. There's no place of safety outside of him. There's no means of escaping God's wrath unless you're found in him. By that I mean you need to have your faith in Jesus Christ. You need to come as a sinner. Trust him to be your Savior. You need to come to God and tell him that you're sorry for your sin. And on the basis of Christ's death on the cross, the fact that he died for sinners and rose again, that God might be satisfied and that sin might be dealt with, you tonight could be saved. But outside of Christ, you have no hope. Outside of Christ, you'll be lost. And when the wrath of God falls upon the world in which we live, I'm afraid that outside of Christ you'll find no hiding place. A group of pioneers were making their way across a prairie to a place they would soon call home. One day as they traveled slowly towards their destination, they noted a line of smoke that was coming quickly across the prairie towards them, and they knew they were in great danger from an approaching fire. Just the day before, they'd crossed a river. They knew they'd never have time to turn back and make their way across the river to safety, and they wondered what on earth they were going to do. One of the men in the group stood forward. He said to them, "Set the grass on fire behind us." They looked at him puzzled, and he said, "Set the fire on the grass behind us." And they did that. And soon the grass began to disappear and it burned its way out, and there was this place out in the prairie where they were able to go and stand in safety. They watched the flames approaching. A young girl cried out in terror, and she took her father by the hand and she said to him, "Dad, are you sure that we'll not all be burned up?" And her father looked at her reassuringly and said to her, "Listen, the flames cannot reach us here, for we're standing where the fire has been." What a picture that is of safety for every believer that's found in Christ. On Him almighty vengeance fell, that would have sunk a world to hell. But He bore it for a chosen race, and thus becomes our hiding place. You see, friends, the fire of God's judgment burned itself out on Christ. And all those who are in Christ tonight are wonderfully, gloriously, and eternally saved. It's one thing to look out at the world in which we live and complain about its standards and all that's happening and the terribleness of the situation. But listen, you and I are part of it. And this old world of ours is one day heading for ruin. And I just want to remind you, Christ is the only hope for a sinful world. And you need to make sure you're trusting in Him. Are you? Because if you're not, you'll have nowhere to hide when the tides of God's wrath are poured out on this world of sin and shame. Come to Christ tonight. And I mean tonight. Let's bow together in prayer. Father, the story of Noah and the ark is a story that all of us are familiar with. But we bless you for the lessons, the simple lessons that we can learn from it. We know the world in which we live this evening, that sin, our Father, is abounding more and more. But again, we're reminded in your word that where sin abounds, grace doth much more abound. We thank you, Father, that you have made provision for our sin at the cross through the death and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you that when we're found in Him, we're safe and safe forevermore. Oh God, speak to our hearts tonight through your word, we pray. And grant that you'll not only challenge us, but in your grace and mercy that you'll bring those who know not Christ to saving faith in Him, that the day might come when they too shall be delivered from the awful wrath to come. Hear our prayers as we commend ourselves to you in Jesus' name. Amen.